we've been going through the book of John, and we're still going through the book of John. By God's grace, by God's speed, we'll get to where we're going, or where He's bringing us. It may not be as far as I want to go, but that's okay. You know, it's not about me, right? It's about what God wants to do, what He wants to talk about. We left off last week as Jesus was speaking to His disciples, and they had some questions, and His disciples said, "Now you're speaking plainly. You're not speaking to us in a proverb anymore," paraphrasing there. So what Jesus has been talking about, He said, there's going to come a time that you're going to bitterly mourn, but then after that mourning, you will rejoice. Well, that's a truth in all of our lives. There comes a time of mourning, but remember, after the darkness, there is morning. I mean, the sunrise, it's morning. There's a time of physical tribulation and hurt and pain and absence, but then there comes the day, the new day dawning. There comes the sun of God rising in our hearts. There's a new moment for every day. There's a season, right? For every time, there's a season. In verse 31, this is where Jesus picks up. In verse 31 of chapter 16, He says, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, and every man to his own. And ye shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Amen. We can hold on to that. Just hold on to that right there. The world may leave you alone. Your disciples, your friends, the people you poured your life, your love, your everything into, they might leave you. And you know what? It's okay. Jesus was, He knows He's about ready to go to the cross. He knows He's about ready to die. He knows that the Father is going to turn His back on Him, and He's going to pay. He's going to become the sin offering for the whole world. He knows that. And He says, "I also know that you guys that love me, that say you love me, that say that you know that I am God manifest, and you know that, you're going to walk away. And even though you walk away, I will not be alone." When we go through those darkest times, when we go through those most fearful times, you are not alone. Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Amen? So, praise God. All right? The things that we talked about before the sermon and before we started getting into the Word of God, the concerns about the Ukraine, concerns about Russia, concerns about this, concerns about that. Oh, we could wrap our whole heart up in the overwhelming, looking at the overwhelming darkness that's coming across the earth. But even in the midst of that, we're supposed to be the light of God. We're supposed to be Him. And God, Jesus is going to pray for His people here real shortly. He said, "I'm not alone. These things," verse 33, "these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Praise God. All right? Hold on to that. Anybody who's worried about the next lockdown, anybody who's worried about the next catastrophe, the next thing that's going to happen, the big next Democrat that's going to be elected president, all right? Whatever. I know. It may not happen. Well, actually, I don't believe that there's going to be another fair election in America again. I don't. They figured out a way to manipulate the numbers. It's probably going to be... evil doesn't stop, it just readjusts itself. But that's okay. Our kingdom is not of this world. My hope doesn't come from Washington or from Albany or from Kansas. My hope doesn't come from getting out of New York. My hope comes from Christ and Christ alone. My peace is not wrapped up in this world system. Our hope is in Christ. Our peace is in Christ. Our joy is in Christ. No matter, even Job said, "Even though you slay me, yet will I trust you." I ran out of breath. "Yet will I trust you." It is okay. It's okay. God will supply more than your need as the need arises. He will not just give you enough to make you sufficient to go into it. He will give you enough, amen, Bonnie, that will not just get you into it, but will bring you all the way through it to the other side. There's always victory for the Christian on the other side of the tribulation. Again, he says, in the world, you shall have tribulation. So what should you expect? Tribulation, right? Don't expect anything else. As long as you're in this world, expect tribulation. It's okay. It is well with my soul. It is okay. No matter what man may do to me, my faith is in Christ Jesus. No matter when the whole world economy comes crashing to the ground and we're swapping seashells, right, for beans, it's okay. Oh, there's an old song, I forget it, it's a Christian song. I wish we'd all been ready. You know, and in that song it says that a bag of gold will buy a slice of bread. Oh, I wish we'd all been ready. But there's no time to change your mind. The Lord has come, you've been left behind. Right? And so that's how the song kind of goes. That's one of the lines in it. So it may come to the point where a bag of gold will only buy a slice of bread. It's okay. It's all right. You know what? There will be manna. You know? Remember God told Noah, go for wood. He might just tell us, go for gopher. Right? Just eat squirrel. You know? There's plenty of nutrient. God will take care of you. He will. And it is okay no matter what happens. Right? No matter what happens. Why? The last word. Well, be of good cheer. All right? You're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. That's a good thing to know. Jesus, I have overcome the world. Amen? Praise God for that. Glory to God in the highest. I have overcome the world. That's the best news you'll hear in this time-space continuum that we're living in. Right? He's overcome the world. All these worries, all these troubles, all these things, he's overcome them. And then he prays to the Father for our courage. In John chapter 17, his high priestly prayer. These words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, all right, now, how many of us were taught when you pray, you bow your head, you close your eyes, and you like this? Jesus, when he prayed in this instance, he lifted his eyes to heaven. He prayed like this. He wasn't kneeling down. He was just praying. Now, in the garden, later, he's going to kneel down. He's going to pray. And the angelic host are going to, an angel is going to come and strengthen him. And he's going to pray with such a broken heart. He will sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Amen. But that's at a different, not long from now. He says, and he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over how much flesh? All flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God for that. Everybody who's going to get saved is going to get saved. All right? Everyone who the Father has given him will have eternal life through Christ Jesus. Don't worry about all the rest of the stuff. Don't worry about it. Don't spend your time. Don't waste your energy. Don't fret about any of these things. He's overcome the world, and everybody who's going to get saved is going to get saved. Amen? Not one person that's supposed to be, that the Father's going to give him, not one shall be lost. Amen? Except that son of perdition. You know, Jesus actually says that also. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Now, when Jesus says this is life eternal, this is something you need to hold on to. Anchor yourself here. Because who needs to know what eternal life is or life eternal is? That they who, those who the Father has given Christ to save, that they might know thee, that we, the church, might know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. This is life eternal. This is what understanding everything, this is where all of your confidence has to anchor down. We know the Father through the Son. We know the Holy Spirit through the Son. All of that comes through Christ Jesus. This is eternal life, that we can know the Father who sits on the throne, who spoke all things into existence, that God, the Almighty God. We can know Him because of the Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen? Jesus is the name, Christ is His position. The Messiah, the one who would come and take the sin of the world. Amen? That's what eternal life, that's how you get it, that's how you know about it, that's where all of our confidence has got to be concreted. Because if you're not, if you don't have this right here, you'll never be at peace with the wreck that's going to come. Alright? Because we're going to watch a train wreck. We're going to be involved in a train wreck. But it's okay. The world is on a collision course with God Almighty. And it is going to crash. Praise God. Jesus overcame the world. He said so. It's well with my soul. It's okay. Don't sweat it. Right? Don't sweat none of the small stuff. And how much is small stuff?
It's all small stuff.
It's all small stuff. You ain't got to worry about none of these things if we have our faith in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say it'll be comfortable. He said you will have tribulation. Tribulation is not put on your party hat. You know, you're going to party like it's 1999. No, this is going to be tribulation. It's not easy. But Jesus never said a Christian's life was easy. It's never supposed to be easy. The problem with the church in America is we've gotten fat and lazy. And we've started loving our creature comforts. Now, I don't like the idea of this. I don't like the idea of that. I don't like the things that's going on here, the things that's going on there. I don't like the economy falling. I don't like the price of gas. I don't like the president. I don't like blah, blah, blah. I don't like the world either. You know? But the world's what the world is. Our kingdom is not in this world. This is not what we're supposed to be wrapping our mind around. When these things come to pass, the world is going to be looking for concrete. They're going to be looking for the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. They're going to be looking to somebody who's tethered to that cornerstone, whose feet are on the foundation that cannot be moved by the situations of this life. That's you. If you prepare yourself now, that's you. If you don't prepare yourself now, you'll be washed away. Right? I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your ability to help others because you're in a panicked state. You know, a life, I've heard it said, I don't know for sure because I was never a lifeguard and I was never saved by lifeguards, all right? But if you're, see, a drowning man, you need to wait till they're nearly drowned, till they've wasted all of their energy struggling in the water before you go to get them, right? Because when you go to get them, they need something solid that's stronger than them. This world's going to struggle and we're going to have to watch it struggle. They're going to need something stronger than them. We're going to need something stronger than us. Praise God, Jesus overcame the world. Right? Praise God. Our peace is in Him in the midst of tribulation. Praise God that He's praying to the Father that everybody who's going to get saved is going to get saved. Amen? And you might be an intricate part in that salvation if you are secured to the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and not so consumed by the crashing of the train. Right? Our conductor is still driving the train. Jesus is still in control. Right? And so, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Think on that.
That's a powerful paragraph.
That is a powerful. You're right, brother. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things that were made by Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. And then we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I messed up the order there, but basically that's what it says in the beginning of John. Right? Praise God for that. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world, before the calamity of sin came in, the glory of God, we talked about it last night, right? God spoke, he said, let there be light. There was light days before the sun and the stars and the moon. The glory of God illuminated the earth. That glory was Jesus Christ. That glory. And that glory that Jesus is asking for is going to come. He's already there. He's waiting for us to be part of it in the resurrection. I don't know, this corruption must put on incorruption, this flesh, this corruptible flesh must be changed, right, must be put on immortality. Thank you, sister. And so the scripture was there, my tongue ain't working, right, got to engage it sometime. And so that's why we have a body of believers, right?
That's right.
And so that glory is going to be our glory. I don't know what I'm going to look like when I see him, but when I see him, I'm going to be like him. So the glory that was in Adam, the glory that was in Eve in the beginning before sin came in, that's what we're going to be clothed in. So the world's going, excuse my French here, I don't know if this is French, this might be American. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. And it's okay. Because I have a glory promise. Because I trust Jesus Christ. I am born again. He has cleansed me, washed me with his righteousness, his holiness. He's filled me with his spirit. He told me that the Comforter was going to come. If he left, the Comforter was coming back. And he would make his abode in me. His home would be inside the believer. And that spirit would guide us into all truth and remind us everything that Jesus did. So what can the world do to you? I have overcome the world, Jesus said. Don't worry about these things. He's praying to his Father. Listen. And I verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gave them me. Thou gavest them me. All right. You already belong to God. And then God gave you to Jesus Christ. The Father did all the work. Did you see that? The Father did all the work. He said, the men that you chose, God, the men that you chose, you picked them out before I picked them out. You picked them out first. And then you gave me to them. Not them to me. You gave me to them. He became the servant Savior. That we can have hope that goes way beyond any tribulation that ever comes. Praise God! Praise God! This is great news. Amen. This is better than any bad news you'll ever receive. And this is the best news. Because the men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word, thy word, excuse me, they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. All right, so he's talking about their faith, the disciples' faith. Do you believe that God sent Jesus? Do you believe that God sent Jesus for you? Right? Individual, that the Father moved over you, God sent Jesus to you. You didn't go looking for Jesus. God called you, and then God delivered you into the hands of Christ. All right? He did all of the work. All, in fact, he paid it all on Calvary, right? He called you out of darkness. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew the bloodline of Christ, where it would run, who would be saved, how they would be saved, when they would be saved. He knew all those things. He called your name before you were formed in the womb. He knew everything about you. Do you think he knew about the upcoming lockdowns or the lockdowns that just passed? Did he know about COVID before COVID came? Did he know about whatever the next disease is that's going to come out of the labs, probably in America? Who knows where they're going to come from? Do you think God's in control? If he's in control, how many things work together for good to them that love him and are called for his purposes? What's that? And say it in Greek.
All, amen.
And in Greek, all means all. Right? How about Hebrew? If you ancient Hebrew, it's still all. Right? It's all. It's all. Right. So all things, even this, even the lockdowns, even starvation, even having your homes ransacked, even your life being taken from you, even the punch in the nose for glorifying Jesus, all of that works out for good. Well, what if they kill me? Do you believe that everything, all things, work to good to those who love him and are called for his purpose? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you love him? Suck it up. Trust God. It's going to be for the good. It doesn't say it's going to be convenient. It doesn't say it isn't going to be painful. It says it's going to work out for the good. Do I have to understand how it's going to work for the good? Nope, I don't. I've got to have faith that it's going to work for the good. That no matter what happens, no matter how the cards fall, no matter how the soupy mess gets spilled out, it's going to be for God's glory. Am I willing to be part of that soupy mess that's poured out for God's glory? My flesh says no. My spirit says yes. Because I don't want it to happen. I don't want to have my fingernails pulled out for the glory of God. But if that's what it takes for the glory of God, then take them. I don't want to have to be locked up or like Wendy was saying, held down and forced to take a shot I don't want to take. If you want to take a shot, praise God, take a shot. I don't care. You want this, praise God. I don't want to take it. But if they're going to force me down and force me to take it, guess what? I'll take it. You know? I don't have to like it. But if other folks do want to, I'm going to love you through it. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. God is in control. Steph, she might have a brain bleed. There's another word that comes to my mind. Praise God, I can't say it. Anyhow, it's the other end. So, is that going to work out for the glory of God? If she loves God and is called for his purpose, then yeah. Amen? Yeah. Right? It's going to... Do I have to understand it? Nope. I just got to believe it. It's not up to me to know his thoughts are not my thoughts. Wow, I think his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher than mine. His ways are better than... I'm slaughtering that scripture, but you know what I'm saying, right? It's gooder than what I have. Can I believe that? In the midst of the fire, even though he can save me, if he doesn't save me, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to lose my faith, O King. Because Jesus prayed for me. He prayed for me, he prayed for me, he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for everybody who would be born again through the power of his sacrifice. He prayed for those folks right here. Verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I have come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given, even as we are. Oh. Okay, did you see what he said right there? Right? What Jesus is praying for, I pray for them, not only for them, because they're not in the world. We're not supposed to be sucked up by the concerns of the world. Is God sufficient for whatever tribulation comes?
Amen.
You know, if he ain't, you've already lost. You need to set your mind in that now. Before the tribulation comes, you get ready for that fight. Before the fight begins, you hold on to the truth. before you understand the truth, before you go into a battle, before you get into a fight, it's all nerves, right? Anybody here? You wrestle, right? And so you're going in to wrestle, or you've played you've ever gotten to a ring and fought somebody, or got to the street. There's a nerve thing that goes on until you get into the middle of the fight. And then all of a sudden the nerves go away, and then instinct takes over, and you do what you need to do. Same thing with Christ. This world's going to come to an end. A crashing, burning, flaming, fiery ball of nothingness is going to happen. But he's overcome all of that. The wicked one is going to rise, and he's going to persecute the church. Jesus said it's going to happen. All right? Jesus says it's going to happen. Is it going to happen? Amen. Do you believe that all things will work out for good? If you love the Lord, you're called for his purpose. Amen. These two young ladies from Pakistan, Miriam and Sarah, they believe that it's going to work out for good. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they're living it. They're seeing the grace of God. They lost their jobs a while ago. They haven't starved to death. You know? They've been beaten. The apostles, when they were beaten, they gave glory to God. Thank God that I was worthy to be counted worthy to be beaten for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yay! They threw me in prison. Woohoo! Man, praise God that God thought I was worthy to stand up for the tribulation and the persecution. We don't hear much of that in the church today. But it is good news. And look at this. Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Pray not for this world system. Don't pray for this world system. This world system, remember, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 last night. Satan is the ruler of this present world. He is. He's the prince of the power of the air. Now, God has him on a leash, and he can only do so much, right? God's still in control. But Satan is in charge. This world system belongs to him. The financial system, the way that the lies that are going around, he's in control of all of that stuff. But we're supposed to be illuminated with truth so that we can see past the lies into the truth of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He can show us past all of the destruction and the depressions that are happening in the world for the great call of God that's laying before us. Jesus said, I'm not praying for the world. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. Right? Until I come and actually take the kingdoms of this world. The world's going to be what the world's going to be. I'm not praying for them. But I will pray for those that you have given me. I will pray for the church. I will pray that you don't take them out of this world, but you'll protect them from the evil that is in this world, as it says in a couple more verses down here. Right? So let's see if we can get there. Verse 11. I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I came to thee. Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one, as we are, and I added one. Think of that. What's it going to be like when we are one in Christ, in the Father, in glory? Isn't that worth any suffering that we might have to put up with for the little time that we have? Anyhow, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I spake in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Okay? Jesus is saying we're going to be here in an evil time. Right? Even the disciples, right? They were in the world, and the world hated them. Rome hated them. Rome hated Paul. Rome hated the Christians. Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. He thought he was doing God a favor by killing Christians, right? And see the snowball effect that Jesus is talking about here? And so he said, listen, I kept them through your word. All right, remember, his word is truth. He kept them in the truth in the name of the Father. How are you being kept? Go ahead and say it. It starts with T, ends in oof. Truth, amen. By whom? Starts with F and ends in other. Father, right? Okay. I'm trying to get you in the groove here, right? Our faith is not in this world. Our faith is in the truth of God's word. Our faith is in the Father. Are you secure in the Father even if there's evil in the world?
Amen.
Amen? Don't worry about this world and this world system. Don't worry about all of the turmoil and the things that we don't like. Jesus didn't like the world. He said, I ain't even going to pray for them. I'll pray for those that are in the world that you gave me, but I'm not praying for this world system. I'm not praying for that. And if Jesus ain't worried about it, if Jesus ain't praying for it, why are you wasting your time worrying about it? Look for the kingdom, right? God's kingdom, capital K, kingdom, right? The kingdom of heaven. Verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I got all these marked and underlined in my Bible. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Sanctify, set them aside, preserve them, keep them. Keep them in the word, through the word, by the word. Not by the world. By the word. Oh. This is why I am so excited about what we're facing. Because I am going to see God do great things. Because the world is getting angry at the ones who trust in Christ Jesus. They're hating us. They're trying to kill us. And it is okay. All right, it's okay. Walk into the lion's den with Daniel. Right? Just walk in. Don't fight, don't scream, don't fuss, don't worry about it, don't fret. It's okay. One of two things is going to happen. You're either going to be eaten by the lions, and if you ever got bit by a lion, you know you don't last a long time. It's like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? Three. Right? Three bites, you're done. Okay? Just three bites. And they'll, if they're hungry, they'll eat you really quick. It's okay. Or he's going to make this beautiful Persian rug, and you're going to sleep in the midst of those pretty pussycats. You know? And either way, it's okay. You're going to be led into the fiery furnace. Right? And it's going to be so hot, you're going to see the other men that open the door get evaporated by the heat. And you're going to walk into the fire. And if you get evaporated by the heat, praise God, it's okay. But if God covers you, look at the witness it did. Didn't we put three? I see four. And that fourth one looks as unto the Son of God. Hey, it's all right. It's okay. And thou hast sent me into the world. Verse 18. First sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right. Where do I get this kind of faith? It's not by looking at CNN or Facebook or Twitter or name your news outlet out there. All right. Is not by any of that stuff. My faith, this kind of faith that I have, comes through the written word of God. Right? Are you cold or are you leaving?
No, I'm cold.
I know it's a quarter after. I promised my wife I'd get through with this. But she said, if you would just read it, you could do it. And I said, I will. I can't. It's too great. Sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen? Mm-hmm. Neither pray for I these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. How did you get saved? Somebody told you about Jesus. Amen? God called you. Somebody told you. How will they hear, or how will they believe unless they hear? How will they hear unless you're preaching? How will they preach unless they're sent? Right? And that's the truth. They, verse 21, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. All right. Isn't that worth being a little excited for? I know it's Wednesday. I know I preached 15 minutes longer than what I said I was going to. But isn't that at least something to smile about?
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Praise God. Right? That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, thou hast as thou hast loved me. Okay, people, meditate on that all week. When you hear about the war in Ukraine and all the hospitals being bombed and all those people being suffering, all the death and all the corrosion and destruction and how our president's an idiot and all those things that you're going to hear through the week. How the famine is coming. You're going to be one in the Father. In Christ. Unified, glued together, a single unit. So what is the world going to do to me? Nothing. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. Mm-hmm. The only way I can get out of this is if I choose to leave, or if I choose to fear, if I choose not to have faith in God. If I get so concerned about the world, that's just showing that my root's not very deep. And what do you do to get the root deeper? Get the rocks out of the way. What's the rock that's stopping you from getting deeper with Christ? That's an individual thing. You figure it out for yourself. The Holy Spirit will tell you, you know, what that thing is. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect. And do you think you can be perfect? God says if you're walking with Him, you can be perfect. Amen? I can be perfect. I look at how sinful and how flawed and how short of perfection I come. Well, I come short of perfection in my eyes, but God already sees me there, seated in the Father, seated in Him, in perfection, in the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So does it matter what I see of myself? I need to see the truth of God's Word above what I conceive in my mind as the reality of the moment. How many have noticed that the reality of the moment changes like every moment? But the reality of God's Word, my oneness in Him, never changes, regardless of the circumstances that we're surrounded with. God's still on the throne. Prayer changes me. Amen. Reading this Word changes me. I and them and they and me. Father, verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, if Jesus asked the Father, those who the Father has given Christ, wherever Christ is, that they're going to be with Him, do you believe that? Well, what about the suffering? What about the tribulation? What about the world scene? What about CNN or Fox News? What about the president? What about this? What about... Doesn't matter. It really does not matter. It doesn't matter who's going to be the next governor of New York. It doesn't matter. You know why? I don't answer to the governor of New York. I answer to God. I am in Him. I'm perfect in Him. And even though the world hates me because I trust Him, It's okay. I can't, I wish I could take this and pour it out into you, that you really would have the deep faith that God has all of this completely and totally wrapped up. It's already bought and paid for. It's done. And all we have to do is hold on to Him. Right? All we have to do, He's already got me. I just need to make sure I don't faint when tribulation comes. I need to make sure that I don't get worried by the cares of this world, or I get carried away by the thoughts of my own mind. That the fears that live within me aren't the things that stop me from walking with God. To get past that. To enter into the overwhelming glory of the Most High God. Because He said I can have it. Alright? He said in His Word that where Jesus is, I will be. And if Jesus is in the throne room with the Father, guess where I'm going to be? In the throne room with the Father. So what? This little 80 years that I live, 100 years that I live, I might be having a hard time. Eternity's a lot longer. Right? So you'll starve to death. Okay. I'll be skinnier when I go to heaven. I don't know. You know? Anyhow, I'll be filled with His glory because He said I would. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, 25, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. If nothing else, through this high priestly prayer of Jesus, we ought to have one thing built up. Starts in F and ends in what?
Faith.
Faith. Amen. We ought to have faith. We have faith that God is going to do this. God is in control. No matter how much the world hates me, no matter how my brother is stuck in that stupid chair right there, how he's declined over the years. I mean, I remember when we first met, he was walking to church.
Yep.
Amen? Glorifying God. When he couldn't walk good, he got his John Deere tractor with some deer horns on it. Amen? Drove it to church. He'd walk in. We sat in my office more than one time crying and praying together that this thing would pass from him. But you know what? He prayed today. Thank God for my salvation. You know why? Because he's going to be made one in Jesus Christ because of his faith. He's going to be in the Father, in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of his faith. Because what God has done in him. I am a better man because of him.
Amen.
I'm a better believer in Jesus Christ because of him. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your skirt there, buddy. But God has used you as a mighty tool. He may not look like much, but he is a powerhouse. Amen? Fire extinguisher don't look like much until you're on fire. It looks like it's the only help you can have. Right? Folks, if anything, go over this John 17 if you have any fear, if you have any doubt, if you're being consumed by the fears and concerns of this world, go back here. Nail yourself down into this. Remember chapter 16, 15, 14, he talks about the persecutions that are coming. He promises the Holy Spirit. He promises that he'll never leave, he'll never. All of those things are held inside of that. 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, the Father turns off the dead stuff. Right? That you can bear more fruit. And that fruit is a better relationship with him. Here in 17, he solidifies it with a prayer to the Father. Earlier, Jesus said, Lord, I know you. Father, you always hear me. And if Jesus said, you always hear me, do you think God heard this? The Father, the Creator, heard this prayer for you? Because you believe in the only begotten Son of God? Live like it. Live like it. Live like you believe it. Live a life that is in reckless abandonment of fear. And that's what it, that's what you need to have. Reckless abandonment of fear. I will not fear. I ain't going to be afraid. All right, lockdowns are coming. All right, I ain't scared. So what? Lock me in prison. All right, I don't care. Hold me down and stick a water hose in my ear until it comes out my mouth. I don't care. Why? Because I am in Christ Jesus. And He is in the Father. And I have a place in Him. And this world has no hold on me. Amen? No hold. I love you. Go home. I'm not out of Him. Right? Dear Father, I thank you so much for the folks that are here, Father. I pray for those that aren't here. I pray that if they hear this message through the internet, they hear this message, the sound of your voice, Father. I pray that faith would grow, courage would grow, that the knowledge of the promises that are held inside of your scripture would bloom inside of us and make us courageous and unmovable because of the unfathomable love of Christ that's in us. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for that. Father, as we go out, let us take this and make it true because of your work in us. And we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys.